Shai Davidi joins me on the line right now. Shai, thanks so much for this. I looked at the forecast for today. It's an afternoon game, by the way. 2 o'clock broadcast start on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, 1:30 on Sportsnet. It's going to be like a respectable 98, I think, today in Arlington.
Yeah, I saw a scary figure of 37 Celsius when I looked it up, and the humidity is going to be through the roof. So it's going to be pretty awful for the players out there on the field today. It's not going to be a much fun for them, I don't think.
Are you doing some pregame stuff on the field as well?
Yeah, I'll have to deal with that. That's fine. You know, I don't have to play it. You know, the guys playing it, it's really tough. I mean, you know, I think they were okay the past two nights because it cooled down somewhat at night. But it can be really hard. I went for a run here the other day, and it wasn't quite as hot as it's going to be today. And it's really difficult.
Yeah, you're hardcore, and you're a svelte looking guy. So I imagine you don't have a sweat problem. But like, if it were me, even just sitting on the field doing a pregame hit or something, I'd be drenched like within seconds. Yeah. You're not worried about that though.
Well, you know what, I like to play a little game. The hotel we stay at here is about a 10-minute walk from the ballpark.
Yeah.
And try to figure out how slow you have to walk each day to not sweat between the hotel and the ballpark. I haven't had any success yet.
I love that ballpark. It's right across from the amusement park there. Have you done any sightseeing? I imagine it's not the first time you've been there. You've been there lots of times, but it's a nice little ballpark.
Yeah, it is. It is, and the football stadium is across too. And that place is just—it looks like a spaceship there. But the Six Flags is closed, unfortunately.
It is
during the week.
Oh, okay.
During the week,
okay.
Because school started down here. So other than that, there isn't a ton to do in this area, though.
Yeah, it's true. Talking to Shai Davidi down at the ballpark, which is now Globe Life Field. Which, yes, I guessed correctly. It is an insurance company. Globe Life, it is still a launching pad, no matter what they tell you in Texas. The ball seems to still fly out there, especially to right and right center field. Blue Jays and Rangers wrapping up this three-game set as the Blue Jays looking for the sweep. And Shai, there's so much praise to be heaped on this Blue Jays team, and it's Steve Buffery of The Sun was making fun of everybody because everybody's falling over themselves to come up with superlatives to talk about this team. But what can you say? I mean, it's not just the number of wins and the 5-1 road trip. Sorry, 6-1 road trip now, looking to wrap it up at 7-1. It's the teams they're playing, Shai. Like, these are not cupcakes. They're playing seemingly every other series is against a team that has playoff aspirations, and then they exit these series against the Blue Jays with their tails between their legs.
Yeah, an interesting point is that yesterday, before the game, we were talking with manager John Gibbons, and he was asked, you know, before whether or not this road trip meant a little bit more. And John Gibbons made the point that he said that before they left, he actually, you wouldn't say this publicly, but he actually thought to himself that this was going to be a pretty good test, good measuring stick, just because you're going out west where the Blue Jays don't always have a ton of success. And you're playing a couple teams that are trying to make up some ground in the wild card race and really trying to establish some things. And the Blue Jays didn't only sweep the Angel. They almost sent them in a crisis mode, right?
Yeah.
And now they're having a pretty good time against the Texas Rangers too. And they've knocked the Texas Rangers out of a postseason spot. The Minnesota Twins moved a half game ahead of them. So the way that they've performed under these circumstances has been just as important as the victory. You see, like, a lot of good process there. You see Troy Tulowitzki starting to heat up. You see Ben Revere having a good stretch of games. Everything else falling into place as well. Good performances from the bullpen, you know, them overcoming a couple shaky starts by Ari Dickey to put up a lot of runs. So I think all the way that it's happened is just as significant for this team as the actual victories. And then you factor in why against the teams and the stakes, and it's turned out to be a pretty nifty little piece of business for them.
I've been watching sports just my entire life, and so have you. And it's not supposed to work this way, Shai. I know the numbers would suggest that this would happen, right? The Blue Jays already had this huge run differential before they made the deals for Troy Tulowitzki and David Price. But how often do the franchises that make those all-in moves, make the huge moves, whether it's at the deadline, whether it's midseason, whether it's preseason, like how often do the preseason favorites ever win? Like it's I feel like it's less than 50-50. The Red Sox a couple of years ago, the Blue Jays of 2013, the A's last year at the All-Star break, picking up Jeff Samardzija and John Lester. How often does a team who's supposed to be great, was pretty good, and one of these teams that was bucking the numbers because they weren't great and they had a great run differential, they pick up these pieces and then they're unstoppable? I know it's supposed to make sense, but in sports that rarely happens.
Yeah, but you know, you look at baseball this year, you know, look at the Mets with the additions they made at the deadline with Cespedes and Uribe and Kelly Johnson, and the Rangers for that matter. They've been playing well since adding Cole Hamels and Sam Dyson. When you add the right pieces that really address the obvious hole, then you can have that kind of impact. And really what the Blue Jays did is that they addressed all their key holes, right? So they weren't getting the best defense out of shortstop, and they get Troy Tulowitzki. They didn't have the best defense in left field, and they get Ben Revere. And then, you know, you saw what he can do defensively yesterday with the catch he made against the wall. Then, you know, the rotation needed an ace. They get David Price, who's, you know, arguably the best pitcher in baseball, not named Clayton Kershaw or Zach Greinke. And then, you know, the bullpen lacked depth and good options, and you get LaTroy Hawkins and Mark Lowe. And so you've addressed several holes with not just good players, but good clubhouse guys, good teammates. And so you really add to a strong mix. And so all the issues that were hampering you before and keeping you from being as successful are suddenly taken care of. And that's what you've seen here. So the rarity to me is not that it's worked so well, is that exactly the pieces that this team needed were all available and that Alex Anthopoulos was able to get. That to me is what's astonishing. But the fact that, you know, they addressed it and they've taken off, I mean, if you get the right guys, that's what's going to happen.
But there's taking off and there's taking off, Shai. Like an 11-game winning streak, a potential 7-1 road trip, sweeping the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. And I know they lost 2 out of 3 at Rogers Center, but I don't know. Yeah, it's we're not used to feeling this way in Toronto, is all. It's just a different feeling.
Right. I mean, it hasn't happened for 21 years or whatever. Yep. It is, you know. It's look, and to me the David Price acquisition and the way people have embraced him is the one that really sticks out to me. Mm-hmm. And it's precisely because things like that haven't happened to the Blue Jays.
Yep.
Right? They don't make that kind of move. They're not in a position to make that kind of move worthwhile. They haven't had an ace since Roy Halladay, all those things. And that's why, to me, the fan base has responded so positively and embraced David Price the way they have, because that's what's missing. And now, in a lot of ways, the Blue Jays as a team and the Blue Jays as a fan and the Blue Jays fans are getting a sense of what they've been missing out on the past 2 decades.
And talking to Shai Davidi, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, your game story yesterday talking about David Price, which is, it's funny in a 12-4 game, but exactly right. I mean, there was a key moment there in the fourth inning and maybe things get away, but that's what aces do. They shut the game down at that point. There's a couple of interesting pieces of information, or at least sample sizes, that I think are changing. Well, I don't know. Kevin Pillar, I think, just might be a streaky player. And he came out of the gates very slow offensively, had a great run, got back to respectability, then went back in a hole, and now is seemingly digging himself out of it. Ryan Goins, though, I think there might be something happening there, Shai, as far as whatever. He's the type of hitter he is. But if you can, like, there's so many guys that if just a little bit better plate discipline, a little bit better eye, changes their entire offensive skill set. And if Ryan Goins has really actually done something there, I mean, that's a pretty valuable guy to have at the bottom of the order.
Oh, for sure. Because of the defense and how significant the defense is in terms of taking away runs, that, you know, the way one person put it to me is that if he could only defend himself with a bat, then you've got yourself a hell of an everyday player.
Yeah.
And he's getting to that point, you know, that he's not an automatic out, that he's pesky, he's gonna take some pitches. And is he going to be the greatest offensive player in the world? No, but because of the way he defends, he doesn't have to be. So the plate discipline that we've seen, it's eight walks in his past 10 games or something like that.
Yeah,
including three last night. That's a really good number for him, and it's a good sign that he's able to do that for this lineup, because what you really saw last night in particular was how the bottom of the Blue Jays lineup contributed and set the stage for the top and really did damage, where the bottom three in the Texas Rangers lineup, especially during that fourth inning where the game could have swung, the Rangers get men on first and second, nobody out for the bottom three hitters, and all three of them strike out, and inning over, Blue Jays get a lead and it's good night. That's the difference. That's one of the big differences. You know, when the Blue Jays have that bottom of the lineup going, you know, forget it, because there isn't a breath to be found for the opposing pitcher at that point.
Is it real, though, what we're seeing from Ryan Goins? Is it an actual change in his approach in the way he's able to get on base? Do you think that's sustainable, or is it just, I mean, there's guys that go up and down all season long, but is there something actually happening there, something that he's been working on that's finally coming to fruition?
I don't know. I don't know. We're going to find out, because he's going to get, in all likelihood, a pretty extended run of playing time with Devin Travis looking like he's not going to be able to make it back this year. You know, the Blue Jays are still, or he's still hopeful that that might be the case, but I think the Blue Jays are proceeding as if that's not going to happen. So we're going to get a pretty good look at how opponents are responding to him. But the one thing that should happen with Ryan Goins, especially if he's batting ninth, is that opposing pitchers can't risk or shouldn't risk messing around with him, because you don't want to put him on base for Troy Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson and onwards. So that's what in some ways made the walks yesterday all the more surprising, to get three of them. He's in the ninth spot. You know, that's the guy you got to go after. So he's going to have to be ready to hit. So I don't think we're always going to see him walk the way that he has. But if the opposing pitcher isn't going to put it in the zone, he's going to have the. It's good to see that he'll have the discipline to lay off those pitches and take his walk.
All right, let's get to the guy everybody wants to hear about, Steve Tolleson. I kid, but I did notice that in your story in talking to Alex Anthopoulos, he's had enough of baseball. He's going to retire. Is that what's happening with Steve Tolleson?
You know what? I don't know the full story there. I know that he was having some injury issues at AAA Buffalo, and I don't know the full story there. So that's what Alex Anthopoulos said, and that's what I know at this point.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, because that was a guy who did factor in, and I know he wasn't happy to be DFA'd, but certainly a lefty masher, and could have still worked as a platoon with Ryan Goins, but Cliff, don't call me Chad Pennington. Can do that job as well. Before we let you go, so Marcus Stroman, now we have at least a picture in our minds of how it's going to go for him. Simulated game, Lansing, and then Buffalo, and then maybe Toronto against the Yankees. That seems like, I mean, if all does go according to Hoyle here, and we do see him up in the major leagues in September, we'll see him here in some capacity, whether it's in a starting spot or in the bullpen or just up to watch this team when the minor league season ends. If it's his first start, like, I know he's made starts against the Yankees, but I mean, I don't know. I feel a little bit nervous, even if he dominates in these two minor league starts, to throw him into his first start against the Yankees, especially if it's still close at that point.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just the way things line up, and that's not necessarily the way things would play out. And the Blue Jays aren't going to do anything to put him at risk.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. There's going to be a significant difference in shot of adrenaline and obviously incentive and stakes if he goes from the Bison season finale at Pawtucket to pennant race at Yankee Stadium in his hometown. So that's obviously something the Blue Jays consider. But before we get to that point, you know, he has to get through the simulated game with no issues, and then he has to get through the two rehab outings with no issues, and then the Blue Jays have to make a call into how he fits, and maybe the rotation is rolling at that point. You don't want to touch it.
Yep.
Or maybe it's not, and he's needed.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a lot of time between now and then, and really nobody knows how this is going to play out. But the fact that Marcus Stroman has gotten to this point is impressive, and really at this point he's just giving them options, and if he gives them options, then that's what you want. And it's the kind of problem that the Blue Jays haven't had in recent years. Oh, we've got too many starters, we don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Right, this is the problem that the Blue Jays wish they had. And so if they end up having it, it's nothing but a good thing, and he can certainly go into the bullpen and you know, be a two-inning reliever, be a one-inning reliever, add depth behind Sanchez and Osuna. There's no shortage of what the options of what they can do with them. But until he gets himself to that point, it's hard for them to plan anything definitively, because, you know, that can all disappear in an instant if he feels a little twinge, a little tweak, any sort of thing that suggests there might be some risk there.
Yeah, they're not going to risk anything. Shai, have you started writing your little skeleton for your story when you write that Edwin Encarnacion breaks Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak record on October 4th in Tampa Bay, final game of the season? Have you started that?
You know what? I'm going to wait a little bit longer on okay. that one, because I think it may be difficult for him. You know, maybe gets to 30, 40, but you know, that 50 might be a bit of a challenge.
It might be. Shai, thanks so much for this. Wear an undershirt today and walk slow. Yeah, maybe take a cab even. Uber it.
No, I would feel too lazy to cab that walk.
All right.
Even in the heat.
Okay, we'll be watching for you. Thanks, Shai.
You got it.